Okay, welcome back. And as each day passes, another day closer to the time when those who are prepared will be very grateful that they made the effort. There's still time, and I know a lot of you don't have the financial wherewithal to do much, but anything is worthy. Anything. And I had Vince Finelli on. Vincent Finelli hosts USA Prepares Radio on the Rents Radio Network. Had him on last week. A wonderful, brilliant man, and has a terrific radio format. If you get a chance, tune it in. But he said, and I asked him, I said, how many people do you really think are honestly prepared in the U.S., properly prepared in the U.S. to survive any one of a number of different scenarios of horror that may well come this way? And he said, you know what he said? 0.01%. Those who are seriously, properly prepared. Now, I can't tell you if that's right. I can tell you that I understand why he says that. I can also tell you that he has a hell of a platform upon which he can make a pronouncement like that. Having done this program for years, USA Prepares. All right, we're going up to Canada now. Poor Canada, what that country has been put through the mill, just like Australia. Stefan Verstappen is back with us for his monthly visit. Stefan has led the way for many, many people to understand that there is strength and security in community. Not communism, but community. I know the root word, I get it. But he is involved very seriously with a great group of people up there, and they have put together a community of support, self-assistance, mutual assistance, and more. And they have their own medical team. They have this and that. It's a fabulous story, and you can do it. Say you live in a semi-rural area, and you've got, you know, a couple hundred people living within 5 miles of you in a rural area. You could organize those people, and you should. Anyhow, Stefan, welcome back.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm still here. Thank you. No complaints.
I know. And how's your spirits? Because it's really tough to stay positive these days, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's very, very, very disconcerting. I have to step out of myself to a degree to be able to do this all the time. It's grim as hell. And it's not going to get any better. But I've been doing it for a long time. But thanks for pointing that out, because for those of you listening who are really immersed in this and the dimensions of this tragedy, this mass murder that's going on, you know. And God bless all of you people out there who are dealing with vax injured, whether they have turbo cancer, myocarditis, and they're pretty much housebound, or they have ALS now, which we spent a lot of time last hour bringing you up to speed on. And if you're new to the program, Jeff and Erica on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the programs are all posted on the homepage. Do share them. Listen twice. You're going to learn each time. The information is all cutting edge, and it's good stuff. So how, my friend, is the community up there? How are we doing? Are we making changes? Are there new members? What's going on with it?
Well, of course, we're always moving forward. I'm a little bit distressed to hear the estimate that 1 in 100% are prepared. Is that what you said?
Yes. Well, 0.01% are fully prepared. That's
so
Vincent Finelli. Vincent has my highest regard. He's very smart. And he said it right on this program. Now, I would have said 2 or 3%. He said, no. It's no, they're partially prepared, partially. Whatever it is, it's way too small. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's way too small. I know, Jeff, you know, you and me, we've been doing this a long time. I've grown up in a mental asylum inside a prison camp, you know, and Well, it gets to you after a while. And what I've been telling people is to disengage a little bit from it all, too, okay? Because it's overwhelming, the absolute insanity. I mean, I never went on TikTok. Twitter. I never used that platform. I never liked it. But the other day I went there for some reason, and I started scrolling down, and there was all these videos. Jeff, I don't know. I don't want to see it.
I understand.
Make it go away.
You know? It's something you can't unsee. It's there. Yeah.
I know. I mean, it's absolutely. I have always known I lived in a mental asylum, but this is a mental asylum on LSD. You know, it's just unbelievable. So, folks, look, pull back a little bit from it, and stay away from media, any kind of media. I mean, this poison that the special ones, the ones that God loves the most, I'm not allowed to say their name, but you know who I'm talking about.
God chose them, didn't he? Isn't that the story?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He loves them the most because the supreme being of the entire universe decided that a bunch of illiterate, wandering goat fuckers are the people that he wants to give his message to. Makes sense. Yeah, makes sense. Anyways, so, but you know, it's a poison, Jeff. I can smell it all the time. I can smell it in a TV commercial, in the music, in the movies, in the advertisements, in the news reports, in the lamestream media and the supposed alternative media. You know, I smell them all the time, everywhere.
Stefan? It's the stench. It's the stench of satanic evil.
Yes. Yes, Jeff, that's what it is. It really is satanic evil. It's, you know, the smell of brimstone, right? And and it's overwhelming, and it is destructive to your psyche. That's why I tell people, you got to get away from this. Don't watch movies or TV and throw that goddamn iPhone into the garbage can. Stay off of it. I mean, I listen to two or three YouTubers, you know, from the alternative media, and they give you a rundown basically of, you know, the events for the past week. That's enough. Okay, so I'm sort of up to speed on what's going on, but then, you know, I'm not going to spend more than an hour a week on it because it will
drain your soul. It will drain you.
It does. It really does. Yeah. That's why I asked you how are your spirits, Jeff, because you do this day every day, and you've been doing it for, what, 40 years now?
31.
And more than that, yeah. And, you know, that you really got to protect your soul. You got to protect your spirit, Jeff. And I hope you're doing things that are uplifting, you know, getting out to nature, playing music, you know, sitting around a campfire with good friends, telling stories.
Well, I don't get that far away, but I do what I need to do. I'm very lucky to be able to do this very difficult work. Very fortunate to have people rely on it. I expect people to make their own decisions, not to necessarily do what I do or believe what I believe. But I just want them to think and engage in that process. Don't quit thinking. You need to think about things. Not every day, not all the time. And do get away. And if you want to get to the point where you are reasonably well informed, just read the headlines at rents.com. Spend 10-15 minutes, just read the headlines. You'll get a really good overview of where we are in the world. You don't have to read the minutia. Just read the macro stuff.
Yeah, and then put it aside and focus on uplifting yourself and getting prepped. Oh my God, he's right though. 1%. I would have guessed maybe 1% were prepared. He's saying 1/100th.
Yeah, one. That's thoroughly prepared. That's everything. And he made the point. If we had to live, I've got the primary figure. If an individual had to live on 3 cans a day, green beans, baked beans, peas, whatever, 3 cans a day. Each person would require 4,100 cans a year. That's just for 1 year. So if you've got four people, there's 16,000, almost 16,500 cans if you're using that kind of a regimen. But most of these food companies have pasta. They've got a lot of variety. But the idea of actually truly totally preparing is not easy to do. It's not a lark. You can't just go off to Costco and come out with three or four shopping carts and be prepared. It doesn't work that way.
No, it's an ongoing process. Everybody should have been, like, you have to do something every week to prepare. For example, a couple of days ago, I had an extra $30. And so I bought another box of 9mm ammo. Just a little bit at a time. And then, you know, you have an extra $10, buy another three cans of something. But here's the problem with the preparedness. The thing is, you almost can't be prepared enough. I mean, you can't really, it's beyond the scope of most of the people listening to us right now to have a, you know, a warehouse buried three stories under the ground, filled to the roof with food, and it's not possible. So what you need to do is be prepared, but also make plans for self sustainability. Mm-hmm. And that's where you know, our community comes in. You know, we're friends with the farmers, the local farm. We got Amish and Mennonites around here, so if the power goes out, they're still going to be producing food. And for example, at the community meeting last night, my friend Dixie, you know, I've always spoken about Dixie, she's an herbalist and a horticulturalist, and she brought in two boxes of plants for spring foraging. Now, gardening and horticultural, that's my big weak spot, Jeff. I don't know very much about it. You know, guns, survival, shelters, strategy, tactics. Okay, I'm good. But gardening and such, I'm no good at it. So it's good that I have a friend like Dixie. She came in with, and she brought in like 12 plants that she had picked that morning. I mean, it's already coming up. I mean, spring isn't even here yet. And there are still things growing everywhere that you can eat. And it's not like you have to go deep into the forest to find this stuff. This stuff is... It's growing in the schoolyard. It's growing on the side of the road in the ditch. It's growing probably in your backyard.
Well, that kind of knowledge is invaluable. It's wonderful.
It's invaluable. And so she came in with all these plants and explained where to find them, how to cook them, and what they're good for. And a lot of them are very healthy. They're medicinal plants like purple thistle and yarrow. And Jerusalem artichokes, and they're growing everywhere, Jeff. I couldn't believe how much food is growing just on the side of the road.
What an education. I wish I were along for the ride on that one. That's fascinating.
And on Friday, next Friday, we're doing a walking tour of one of the local, you know, woodland areas. She's taking a tour, members of the community, and we're just going to walk down the path, and she'll point out all the plants that are growing. Now, it's not like you have to wait till summer to pick apples or something like that. There is an abundance of food in places you would never even imagine. I mean, I'm flabbergasted at the amount of food she could find just about anywhere. So on Friday, we're doing the tour, the teaching tour, the talk, walk and talk on medicinal plants and spring foraging. So, you know, that gives me hope because, okay, we can't store 14,000 cans of food in your bachelor apartment. But if you learn this stuff, then, you know, sure, store 6 months worth of food, no problem. But that 6 months can spread into a year when you add to it by foraging and gardening and, you know, working with your farmer friends and neighbors. Now we spread it out. And that's why, excuse me, that's why people are not really prepared to survive, because, frankly, you can't store enough food. You need to become self-sufficient, self-reliant.
Right.
And this is just one of the ways that we do that as part of our community. The other thing is, I was interviewed by Mike Adams a couple of weeks ago.
Really? How interesting. Have you been on there before?
No, it was the first time.
You know where he heard you? Right here. These things happen all the time. It's great to see, because they're always looking to cherry pick good guests. They need new guests. So that's very nice to hear.
Well, thank you, Jeff, to put me in the category of a good guest.
Oh, you're an excellent guest. No, this is a wonderful topic, and you have achieved something along with your friends and colleagues up there that is, it's a template for survival. It's critical.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so, yeah, I was on Mike Adams, and, you know, before the show, we had a little bit of a chit-chat, and I got a chance to speak Chinese with him, Mandarin, because he lived in Taiwan.
Yeah, I know.
And his first wife, or his current wife, is Chinese, too. Only my first wife was Chinese. My second wife was from Tennessee. So it was nice to speak to him in Chinese.
Which one was kinder and gentler?
The one from Tennessee.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard that Chinese women can be...
they're evil. Stay away from them. You know, towards...
All right, well, I'm going to cancel my Amazon order on that basis. Okay.
Yeah, right, do it, Jeff. Don't. It's not worth it.
All right.
I mean, I always dated the real pretty ones, but... Yeah. Towards the end, after three of my good friends were stabbed by their Chinese wives.
No kidding.
Yeah. And towards the end of my marriage, I would stay up late and wait for my wife to go to bed. Then I would hide the steak knives under the couch.
What a wonderful way to live. Wow.
I'm not kidding. You know, me being a big kung fu master and all that, I'm terrified of this little Chinese woman. Oh, my God. Wow. But anyways, I guess Mike's relationship is fine. But so I mentioned on the show that our community is in Oxford County. And I'm going to say that now on your show as well, because if any of the Canadian listeners are listening in, and you live in Oxford County, and nobody will know where it is unless you actually do live in Oxford County. If you do live in Oxford County and you want to become a part of our community, email me at sverstappen@yahoo.com. Email me to say that I heard you on the Jeff French Show. I live in Oxford County. I'd like to know more about your community. And I will do what I can to bring you into our community. So what happened with the Mike Adams show is there was a woman that heard me on it, and she sent me an email. She says, well, you know, I live in, I won't say the name of the town, but it's a town close by here, which is in Oxford County. And she says, I heard what you said about the community. I'd really love to be a part of a community like that. She's very aware of what's going on. And like most of us and your listeners, she's all on her own, right? She doesn't have anybody else on her side that's as aware of what's going on as we are. So I said, I wrote her back. I said, okay, what I'll do is, here's the email address for our chairperson at the community. Email her and see what she says. So it turned out that this woman is a naturopath that works in a very reputable clinic in this small town next door to us. And it turns out that like a half dozen members of our community already knew her because they had gone to her for you know, medical assistance.
Got
she
it.
Works a lot with pregnant women. And they said, yeah, she's really awake, and she's an excellent doctor. So anyways, our chairperson vetted her and invited her, and she brought with her another colleague from the same clinic, another naturopath, whom I met for the first time last night. Very nice lady. She was there during the presentation, Dixie's presentation about the medicinal herbs, and she offered a lot of really interesting insights into how these herbs are properly used and such forth. And so now we got two naturopaths added to our medical team. So our medical team is good. That's why I should talk to Todd again, because Todd's had this cold or something for like 3 months. And maybe I should direct them to our medical team, because we've talked about this before, about the herbal tea that cured prostate cancer. And
that's called SEAC tea.
Right, right, right. See, you know this better than I do.
Oh, and I used to know the owner of the
product. Yeah, that's right. Right, I remember you, Elaine, saying that. So.
Yeah. No, SEAC tea is a must. It's a terrific problem, and it doesn't get enough mention, but it's great. Todd didn't tell me he was still ailing. Todd, we got to get him some ivermectin or something. All right.
Yeah, I got that in my medical kit.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on a second. We'll pause and come right back with more after this. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Stefan about the good things going on up there. Anything, you've got great new members coming in, but anything else new that we need to know about? How are you updating and upgrading, or are there still a couple of holes in the lineup that you'd like to have filled? I suppose that probably is the case. There's always something,
yeah.
a new specialist needed for something, right?
Yeah. I'm still looking for a surgeon, but that's going to be hard to find. A couple of weeks ago, the communications team brought in a guy, and he taught everybody how to make a dipole antenna using scrap materials you can find around the house, or if you had to go to the hardware store, it would cost you $5. And that greatly increased. Yeah, just some wires and... greatly increases the range of the radios we're using. And so make your own dipole antenna, stick it up on the east trough of your house or up on a tree nearby, and improves the range and the clarity of the communications. So we're always upgrading everything a little bit at a time. Like I said, we had the presentation last night on spring foraging, but you know, this is a positive thing. So for the time we spend on media, the garbage media, on the poison that we allow into our lives, you could spend that time, you know, go buy a book, medicinal herbs you can find, and then go for a walk in the forest with the book, you know, get one that's got nice colored pictures. And look for those plants and see if you can recognize them and find them. Because, you know, we're all worried about, listen, we know they're going to starve us to death. Right, Jeff? They're destroying the distribution.
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing there in Texas with the fires and the bulldozers? Oh, my God, they're insane. They're absolutely insane. They're going to kill us all if we let them. But we can fight back. And one way you can fight back is going for a walk. Bring the book with you, and it's unbelievable how much food there is around you. So that's the other thing. Next Thursday, I will be doing another cane fighting workshop.
Oh, yeah.
I got a bunch of vicious grannies, I'm telling you. You know, we're an older group. We got young people too, but most of us are, you know, in the 50s, 60s. And boy, but once I teach them how to use a cane as a deadly weapon, now they're all granny ninjas, you know.
Ah, good.
But it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. But listen, it's all part of the training program, too, because, Jeff, you are a real man. And I want, and I'm saying that because you have faced this evil for decades. And only a warrior can face this evil. That's why, you know, part of what I try to teach people, too, is not just a survivalism. I have my other book, The Art, A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior. And it's the, you know, my magnum opus on warriorhood. Because, why? Because times like these that we live in now, we need real men. You know, all your preparation plans is going to be useless if there are not real men to help you. And if you're not a real man that can, you know, stand your ground and has, you know, critical thinking and perception and awareness, and, you know, you're not afraid to take a few bruises, this is what we need. We need warriors at this time because, listen, many people have said it before, even I've said it before, we are at war. It's a war against Western values, Western society, and
of course,
white people.
Correct.
That's,
yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yep.
And we're taking heavy casualties. Oh, my God. Look, you know, when you see those videos of, like, you know, L.A. and San Francisco and Philadelphia and Baltimore and all these, you know, with all these, the fentanyl and the tent cities, those people are dying and they're casualties in a war. So, listen, what's the old saying? I'd rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. You got to be a warrior. We're in a war now. There is no more, you know, somebody else will take care of it. No, nobody else is going to take care of it. If you don't take care of it, that's it. You're done. You're doomed. You got to be tough. You got to be a warrior to face this stuff. And, you know, Jeff and I have faced this, and I'm including myself in our group here. You know, we've been facing this stuff for many, many years. And if we weren't warriors, we would be what we would be demoralized. What was his name? You know who I'm talking about, the Soviet defector, Yuri Bezmenov.
Yes, Bezmenov.
Who said that their whole purpose to defeat America was to demoralize them. Well, mission accomplished. Look at the society we live in. I mean, if they're not weak and insane and neurotic and pathetic, then I don't know what is. And this is what they wanted. And the antidote to being demoralized is, you know, to get back up on your two feet, draw the sword, and stand tall. And so the same thing with the preparations. Yeah, I know we – one thing that warriors do, and I've got a couple of warrior friends here, we talk. What we don't do is we don't tell the women folk what we know. And in my talks and my podcasts, I don't really tell people what I really know because it's grim, Jeff. You know it's grim, right? What's coming is horrific beyond most people's imagination. But that's why you need to be a warrior. Only a warrior can face this and keep his head together, you know. Rudyard Kipling's famous poem, "If you can keep your head, then you will be a man, my son." We got to be men again, folks. And I'm speaking specifically to the men. You can't let the women know too much about this. Let them learn how to can. Let them learn how to garden. Let them learn how to crochet. But don't tell them what's really going on because it will demoralize them. That's why we have warriors. Only a warrior can turn around and face this evil. It's like Lord of the Rings to be able to face this stuff. And us men folk, it's our responsibility. We're supposed to be the guardians of society and the protectors of the women and the children. So I know it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get demoralized. But look, I know good families, wonderful women, and dutiful, strong men, and they have children. You know, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stand my ground and fight. And standing your ground and fighting means training, getting prepared, learning what you can eat in the woods, doing some martial arts training, and forming a community. You can't do this alone. Our community supports each other. There's so many things that our community actually does. For example, one of our members, Miss V, a 4'6", I think, lady that
4 foot
runs.
Six. All right, that's a big gal. Okay, just so she's not 4'6" horizontally. Okay.
No, she's a teddy bear. She's a lovely woman. I'm madly in love with her. She's married, but I told her the other day. I said, as soon as I have enough
now,
money,
mind your manners. All right.
No. Listen, I've given that stuff up a long time ago, Jeff. I learned my lesson. Hiding the knives under the couch.
That's pretty tough.
Off that.
Yeah, I got it.
She's a lovely woman. I'm madly in love with her, but she's married. And I told her, I said, listen, as soon as I get enough money, I'm going to adopt you as my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But she runs a roadhouse, and what a roadhouse, you know, pulled pork and brazier and hamburger. Oh, unbelievable. The kind of food that they used to serve back in the 50s. But
real food.
She stayed. Oh, my God. Just wonderful. And all locally sourced from local farmers. They bake their own bread. They raise their own vegetables. Anyways, unbelievable food. She's a wonderful woman and a baker. She does all the cakes. Anyways, but during the lockdown, she refused to comply. And so she's got 5 felony charges against her. And so she gave us an update last night about what's going on. She had to go to court a couple of days ago. But we have another member of our community that is one of those common law experts.
Yeah, sovereign, common law,
yeah.
Those kinds of
sovereign,
things.
Sovereign, common law. Now, between you and me, Jeff, and the listeners, I don't put a lot of stock in that. I mean, it's the courts, for Christ's sakes.
You know, let me just sum this up. I think there's a lot of truth to it. I think there are many incredibly important legal grounds to stand upon. But with the communist corrupt courts here, it doesn't matter. They'll throw them right out the window. They don't give a damn.
I know.
So that's the problem.
That's my opinion too, Jeff. But listen, that's our community. They want to do that. And I support them. Good for you. So she brought her common law expert to the trial. And, well, they fucked up that judge. He didn't know what to do anymore. So he...
Understood. Now, you can get them. If you know your business, if you know common law, if you know that, you can go into a court. And often the judge will just call a recess and walk. They don't want to deal with it.
Because they don't want to deal with it. You see, they're in this position of power, and they think they can intimidate you and just saying, yes, I stayed open during the big shutdown, and I'm guilty, and, you know, give me a phone. But, you know, this little 4'6" powerhouse of a woman said, you know, F you, I'm not admitting anything. And she brought in her consultant, who's not a lawyer. He just knows very well versed in common law practice, and they've screwed this guy up. He didn't know what to do. So he's out of the case. So now they have to do another another trial. And this time they asked for a trial by jury. And the caveat is they have to, you know, recruit people to be the jury. So she said, who here in the room is going to volunteered to be on the jury, and every hand in the house went up. So, and, you know, if she goes to trial, she's going to have 60 people there. Our community, right? That will be part of the jury. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't know if it's going to work, if it's going to help, Jeff, but whatever we can do to pay back these sons of bitches, like, resist it at every turn. Even if I don't believe we're going to be successful, the fact is you got to resist it. You got to push back against it. So she's got a whole community behind her, and there'll be the jury, and they'll support her. Again, this is the point of these communities. You support each other. It's not just the food and the medicine and the security and the, but supporting each other in other cases such as this. Oh, another member, she's going to court. She was fired for not taking the you know what, and so she's suing her employer. And then another woman, you can't believe this. She's such a lovely lady, a very very good Christian woman, you know, mid-60s. She refused to put on the mask, and they had four cops take her out of the Walmart. And they pressed charges against her. So now her case is going to court, and we're supporting her, and we've got the Jeff, you know, it's madness, but you got to fight back. You got to fight back. That's why you need to be a warrior. You need to be a real man. And because this is Ragnarok. This is the great battle at the end of the world. This is the ultimate battle between good and evil. Choose a side. All right. You know, this is not a battle I want to stay out of. This is it. If you die, if you go down, well, you've gone down fighting and you're a hero. And you'll be, you know, taken up to Valhalla and join the rest of the heroes, because this is it, folks. You know, do or die. This is the moment. And doing is prepping, becoming self-sufficient, forming communities, and fighting back on all levels. If they're going to charge you with a crime, you fight back. If they're going to try and close down your restaurant, Tom, it's my cat, sorry. You know, you got to fight back, and you got to have your community. You got to bring people together. There's good people out there. There are. You just got to find them. If you can't find them right away, keep looking. People say, oh, I don't know where to look. I said, well, did you volunteer at the soup kitchen? Did you volunteer at the food bank? Did you volunteer at the seniors' home? Did you volunteer to teach a Little League team? Did you volunteer to coach? Did you volunteer to, you know, do something? When you're out there volunteering, and it's the people that volunteer, they're often the good ones. Oh, my God. And
well, they have the right motive. Of course they're good.
Exactly. Right. So that's why.
Yes, I concur.
So if you can't find the right people, well, what are you doing? You're not going to find them sitting on the internet. You can't find them on Facebook, okay? Mm-hmm. Forget about that stuff. You got to get out in the community, volunteer. Right. And like I said, the people that I've met, one of the local churches here, every Thursday night there's a free dinner for everybody that's hungry. And when you go there for free dinner, they also give you like a giant basket of food. They got everything, the cans and bread and eggs and chickens. And it's all free. The church provides it. People donate. That's where you'll find good people. And it's those kind of people that you want to be a part of and help them. And they will help to form your community. So this is the way to go. And then the odds of surviving are so much better, much, much better. You can't do it alone. And like I said, even if you had the money to you know, buy all the food and guns in the world, it probably wouldn't do you any good if you're all by yourself.
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There's security in numbers always.
And yes.
When you have like-minded people, then when you have all the specialty people like you have in your community, you just got it all in micro. It's perfect. It's the way to do
it. Yeah.
It's like a little mini nation state. It's great.
We got a building team, too. Dixie's husband, Kevin, he's converting his garage into a storefront for the co-op. So but he needs to get all his junk out of the garage. So he's building.
Stephanie, excuse me. Do we have a website online that you showcase some of the things without giving everything away? That you showcase
yes.
some of the things that you've done. Is there a website we can give out here for people who'd like to go take a look?
Sure. Yeah. So my website is formingcommunities.com. And I have videos up there talking about our community and what we do. Probably the best one is, it's a little bit boring if you ask me, you know, but because I go through it, this is what we do, this is what we do, this is, you know, and it's called Our Amazing Community. It's on YouTube, and it really lays out a lot of what we do, but again, not everything. There's so much more that's involved. You know, we do counseling for, it's amazing what these people do, and especially the women, and they're good people. And, but you know what, Jeff, to be honest with you, you got to get out of the cities. I'm working on another one of my How It Will Go Down videos because you keep encouraging me to write another one. And I've got one, and I was going through it in my mind the other day, and wow, Jesus, I am so depressed. But it's undeniable how it will go down. It's going to be called Death Trap, and it's based on my experience working as a security guard in a 80-story tall luxury condominium complex.
80?
Those people. Yeah, those people were all
dead. Where the hell was that?
In a week.
Where was that?
80 stories. Yeah,
wow.
You know, listen, doing what I do, it's not a steady income, and sometimes you have to take on a side gig. And a friend of mine who's a former police officer said, well, we can get you some shifts. You just got to get your security license. So, okay. I went and I got my security license. And I worked as a concierge security/security in a, 80-story tall condominium complex. So I know all what goes on in there, the cameras and the drama and the condominium corporation. And it was located in Toronto's entertainment district. Oh, a bunch of spoiled rich kids. What a bunch of assholes. Unbelievable.
Yes, they're out there. Yes,
yeah.
They are.
But all those people will be dead in a week if the power goes out. So that's going to be my next
time. I'm afraid you're right. And cannibalism will be all, it'll pop up, believe it. The lower end of the social cultural morass we live in will begin to eat human flesh rather than starve. They will.
They will. So I'll send you a copy as soon as I get it done. You'll be the first person to be notified.
That's formingcommunities.com. Formingcommunities.com.
Wow. And one other thing I'd like to say is Sunday nights, I started doing this like a podcast. Live stream. It's called Sunday Night Super Chat. 9 o'clock Sunday night Eastern Standard Time. And I just answer questions and that. But
Where do we find this?
On YouTube.
Okay. YouTube, Sunday night, 9 o'clock. And what do they look up on YouTube? Just Stephan Verstappen?
Super Chat?
Super Chat. Very good.
I answer questions from people that are online, but I also tell stories, Jeff, about the past. For example, I told the story about how I went to a Nazi death camp in Germany back in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, I leave it up for about 4 hours and then I delete it.
I got it. All right, we have to run here. Thank you again. Great to talk with you as always. And we'll continue to follow the community. Do you have a name for it? What's the name of it? Is there a name?
There is no name. Well, there is okay. a name, but there's no name.
How about Nirvana? All right, whatever. Now, thank you, and I will be in touch. We'll keep doing this. So,
thank you, Jeff.
Formingcommunities.com. Thank you, Stefan. My pleasure.
No, my pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. Night. Okay. Good night. All right. We'll be right back in, 3 days? Whatever. After the weekend. See you Monday. In the meantime, rents.com, and the network will keep programming coming your way right through the weekend. Watch for Vincent Finelli's program, outstanding. America Prepares. We will be right back on Monday. Talk to you then.